Welcome to today's episode of the New Science of Physical Health, where we've got one mission in mind: how to help you and the people that you care about to outsmart sickness, disease, and premature death. Let's dive into it right now in today's episode. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining me at part three of this lesson. So there's two other parts to it from the Outsmart Ultimate Success Stories. If this is the first time you've tuned in, the first lesson you've ever joined me on, I need you to stop this episode and backtrack to at least the two previous lessons or two episodes of this lesson, where you can start out with part one of this Ultimate Success Story, where I'm talking to Rebecca. Now, to refresh your memory, if you've not joined us before and you want to just follow on with this particular part three, to refresh your memory, here is the short bio that I mentioned of Rebecca from part one of this lesson. She's 55 years old. She resides in Marin County. I think that's how I say it. Might be said differently in America. Marin County in California. It's just north of San Francisco, as I understand it, where she enjoys yoga, exfoliant, cashmere, and men who aren't afraid to cry. There's no doubt that Rebecca has and continues to accomplish what most people never do. She's solved what I call the biggest public health problem of the 21st century and the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century for herself. Rebecca has been able to outsmart obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and this thing called metabolic syndrome. She's at low clinical risk from all of them. If you followed my work with the Outsmart hardcover book, the Outsmart audiobook, the Outsmart Classroom, the cornerstone of everything we do, and the Outsmart Health Lab, you will know that all of the frameworks inside the platform allow a person to be 100% of the time at low clinical risk of sickness, disease, and premature death. The Outsmart tools achieve this by creating for you and anyone who uses them molecular and physiological health adaptations that improve and increase the structure and function of your cardiovascular system, especially the structure and function of your heart and blood vessel network. Plus, this is a really fascinating area. This is one of the many parts of the human body that these frameworks improve in generating health adaptations. Improves how your cell structure produces something called, all the cells in your body, called adenosine triphosphate, ATP. Inside something that's almost like an organelle inside your cell, and the name of it is mitochondria. Now, just as a quick side note, a mitochondria uses oxygen available within the cell, within every human cell, and converts chemical energy from the food you eat inside the cell, inside the mitochondria, and changes it to energy in a form that's usable for the host cell. And that form is this cool word, adenosine triphosphate. Remember the first time at university I ever heard that? I thought that was a really cool word. Cool, very, just a great description of something. ATP, that's energy. The process is called oxidative phosphorylation, and it happens inside your mitochondria, inside every cell of your body. And now, there's three things that the mitochondria in your body do. They regulate the metabolic activity of your cells. They promote the growth of new cells and cell multiplication. And they help in detoxifying ammonia in the liver cells. So Rebecca has accomplished this absolutely critical and significant health objective of driving down all the types of complications that come from chronic disease. And most 55-year-old people are not in the position that she's decided to place herself in. And once again, this is why I want this success story from the Ultimate Success series of the Outsmart Success Stories. Because I want this one to be shared with as many people as possible. If you've got a hold of this, share it with some people you know. We need to hear from someone who has what we call in Australia, put the runs on the board. Let me go back to from the previous episode of this three-part lesson. Let me go back to that song that I inserted into the last episode, which is part two of this particular series. Now, if you remember, it was from Michael Bolton. Now, Michael Bolton, if you're much younger than me and Rebecca, if you never heard of him, once again, look him up on YouTube. Really cool. He's regarded as the king of something called blue-eyed soul. Bolton has sold, this is astronomical, over 75 million records worldwide, making him one of the best-selling artists in all of music history. So here are a part of the lyrics from that song we played, in the excerpt, the snippet of his song called A Beautiful World. So no mountain is too high. It's never too late. There's always a sunrise. All our needs, all our hopes, our dreams are waiting on an open door. I see a spark of light in the dark. We will be wiser, or will be wiser than before. We've got to love like we've never been hurt. We've got to rise like we've never been burned. After all the lessons we've learned, we're going to make this a beautiful world. Now, those lyrics are so entrenched in what he was trying to tell in that particular story that he sings and the reasons that he wrote it. But I've taken those words to mean something for myself. No mountain is too high. It's never too late to create positive molecular and physiological health adaptations that will drive down your risk of sickness, disease, and premature death, which never happened for my father all those years ago when he was 46 and woke up one morning on November the 1st of 1989, over 30 years ago now, and before the end of the day, not in his life did he expect it to happen. He passed away without any, had never had any pain before, had never any symptoms of disease. His life just ended on the spot. So all of his hopes and dreams, whatever they were over. My mum and dad on that day that that happened, they were looking at a brand new house. My mum was 45. My dad was 46. His life was over. They were about to buy a brand new home after my brother and I had just left home four years before that. And what I see in this song where he talks about we'll be wiser than before. We've got to love like we've never been hurt. We've got to rise like we've never been burned. After all of the lessons we've learned, we're going to make this a beautiful world. Now, I love the way that Bolton sings it, just the empathy and the sincerity and the belief in the song. It makes me believe it. But if we're going to make this a beautiful world, it doesn't matter whether it's Michael Bolton, doesn't matter whether it's me or you or the people that you care about most in this world, or the people you see passing by at work each day, or the people you see as you go down the main street of the town that you live in, or the local shops where you go to buy your groceries. They're the people in your community. Those people, their lives, their beautiful world is threatened the further they get away from outsmarting obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. Deep down, my motivation for creating the Outsmart hardcover book, the Outsmart classroom, the cornerstone, and the Outsmart health lab is because I don't want the beautiful world that you live in to be impacted by catastrophic cardiovascular events, which remains the number one cause of premature death amongst men and women on a global basis. This year, the year that you're listening to this particular lesson, there are about 18 million people who'll suffer a catastrophic cardiovascular event and pass away. Many at a much younger age than you expect. About another 18 million people will suffer a catastrophic cardiovascular event this year and survive, but temporarily. Then the same thing will be happening again next year. And a conveyor belt of people behind that the year after. Whilst it is the number one cause of premature death, for my father, who at 46, it came out of nowhere. Like I said, he wasn't sick when he died on that day over 30 years ago on November the 1st. You see, the beautiful world that I planned for the rest of my life when I was 22 years of age, when that happened to our family, my father's death, that beautiful life, that beautiful world included my dad. I wanted him to be at my wedding day. Instead, he wasn't. And I remember just before the wedding dance, my wife and I did, turning around to see my mother in her seat crying. But I knew instantly she was missing my dad on this special
what I call mountaintop moment of my life and of her life, watching her son get married. And, you know, I wanted my dad to be there on that special day back in 2009 in July when my son, my only child, our only child, was born. It was my dad's second grandchild. But that part of my life was left less beautiful because my dad wasn't there. And remember, catastrophic cardiovascular events are only one of the four things we need to outsmart if we don't want our lives to be forever on this precipice of premature death or permanent sickness. You know, I've asked hundreds and hundreds of people that have left school this question. Do you know the exact learning frameworks which will guarantee 100% of the time for 100% of users that you'll be at low clinical risk from complications related to obesity, cardiovascular disease like heart attack and strokes, the ravages of diabetes where, like, this is unbelievable. I just cannot believe 422 million people today are living with diabetes, which, unbeknownst to almost all of them, accelerates heart attacks and strokes. And metabolic syndrome, this cluster of diseases that directly threaten your short and long-term health status. So the brief version of the question looks like this. This is the question I ask hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Do you know the exact learning frameworks you can use to guarantee 100% of the time you'll be at low risk, low possible risk of premature death from disease? Overwhelmingly, people come back to me, even educated people, even so-called successful people of industry, successful professionals in their careers. The overwhelming majority of them tell me they have no clue on what frameworks look like. But like them, you could tell me the multiplication framework from mathematics you learned at school. You could tell me about the division framework you learned at school. You could tell me about the elements table in chemistry or part of it. You could tell me about the framework of starting a sentence with a capital letter that you learned in your English classes when you were young. Those are all the minimum expectations when you left school, that you would know those frameworks. But if I asked you to tell me what are the learning frameworks that guarantee a colossal improvement in your molecular and physiological health adaptations so that you are at least 30 to 54% less likely to be impacted by heart attacks and strokes, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and obesity? If I ask you to tell me those, most people are left scratching their head. I ask health professionals these types of questions. See if you know the answer to these. How does the correct dose of physical activity drive down your blood pressure? Follow-up question. Why is it the most critical health outcome you can have as an adult to drive down your blood pressure? Follow-up question again. What is the correct dose of physical activity to achieve this for every single individual? Person after person after person cannot answer that question or that series of questions like they could if I asked them about the multiplication tables in mathematics. So here's my argument. Here's my supposition, but here's my argument. How much more important is it for you and the people you love to be at low risk of sickness, disease, and premature death than it is for you to know your multiplication tables? I've got a list of about 100 more questions for health professionals who are like me, and they were similar to the ones that I just asked you, but about different areas. But they can't answer those questions either. I knew if they didn't have the frameworks, then what chance did people in the general population have? Like my father, who was a house painter, who died at 46. What chance did the chairman of a $2 billion corporation that I've interviewed when he was facing a catastrophic cancer event in 2019, what chance did he have of answering the question of did he know the learning frameworks to drive down his risk of premature death and permanent sickness and permanent disease? By the way, just as a side note about cancer, I've spent time with one of the world's leading exercise oncologists from Penn State University, Dr. Catherine Schmidt. I've created a whole mini series from that interview that I did with her about driving down your cancer risk and increasing your survival and recovery chances from a cancer event based on her global research at Penn State University that has had more than $25 million of funding. Staggering. Inside the Outsmart Classroom, you're going to find my 6 modules and 18 critical frameworks that I've invented. There is one framework inside the classroom that I've created from my 37 years of education and my work with over 100 plus PhDs in medicine and health sciences, this one learning framework has been validated by a professor and his team from Norway on over 700,000 people. I can provide you rock solid proof it works 100% of all 100% of users, 100% of the time, to get you and them classified as medically healthy. Also in the classroom, the Outsmart classroom, there are courses, books, web classes, private interviews, exclusive mini series on special topics, which I love creating, clinically validated health technology that will prove your body has become classified as medically healthy. More people that you haven't met from the ultimate Outsmart success stories. I want for you, for the community you live in, and for the people that you care about, to do what Rebecca's done, to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy. That means she solved for herself the biggest public health problem of the 21st century. I want you and the people you care about and the community you live in to be at low risk from obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. This means that Rebecca has solved, because she's done this, the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century. But I want that for you and for those other areas. I implore you, you've got to get access to the Outsmart classroom and then share it with the people you care about and the people that live inside your community. After watching my father's life end out of nowhere when he was just 46, just after I finished my degree in health and phys ed and sports science, and then after that I went to work for the National Heart Foundation of Australia for several years, and then I spent the better part of my career teaching 40,000 lessons in the two disciplines that I'm obsessed on, health and physical activity in Australian schools. With all of this work over the past decade that includes over 100 PhDs, after all of these things, I know what the majority of adults around the world don't know. This is it. It is 100% possible for 100% of people who use the Outsmart classroom to become classified as medically healthy and not have their beautiful world stolen away by premature death or permanent sickness. Everybody wants to turn back the tide of negative molecular and physiological health outcomes when something catastrophic happens to them, like a heart attack, like a stroke, like an aneurysm, like a cancer event, all of those things and more. But I will never stop teaching people how to solve the biggest public health problem first, falling in love with wanting to be healthy, and then the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century for themselves, for them and the people they care about and the community that they live in. I want to share with you now the second part of my conversation with Rebecca. I'm about to hit the transition bell, and we're going to pick up on the conversation where it left off from the previous episode. I'll let this lesson finish with some very special words from Rebecca at the end of our conversation. Normally, I would have an interview like the one with Rebecca, then I'll let that finish, and then I'll come back and I'll wrap it up. But on this occasion, what she tells you is enough for you to understand that you can become a part of the ultimate Outsmart success stories. And once you've done that, we're going to help the community that you live in to do the same thing. So for you to hear the transition bell and pick up on the conversation with myself and Rebecca, the second half of it, and the final part of this lesson. Let's let it roll.
Well, it goes a little further back. By the time I was 15, I got really into biking, and I just bike around everywhere. And then when I was in college, I got super into biking, and I was super fit. And
racing?
No, just recreational, long bike rides. I used to have like my books in a backpack on my back, and I'd bike in between classes. I lived in upstate New York. I went mountain biking all the time. But I also got into really poor habits around the same time of soothing this anxiety and these horrible feelings about being infertile by drinking a lot. Yeah. So by the time I was 29, 30, even though I still worked out a lot, there's a lot of sugar and alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol, big sugar.
I had gained a lot of weight. I was very puffy. I did not look healthy. And spiritually and emotionally, I didn't feel healthy. And it wasn't until
how long that lasted?
That lasted almost until I was about 40. And it wasn't until I really got into a therapeutic area and worked out how I felt about being infertile that it all turned around. And I'm a completely sober person now. I've been sober for over 10 years. I don't drink. I don't do anything. Don't even eat sugar. And it first started with yoga, and then I got into hiking, and then I got back into biking, and now I'm just kind of a maniac with physical fitness. It's my favorite thing, but for me, it's multifaceted. It's taking care of your spiritual body, taking care of your psychological self, and taking care of your physical body. Because from childhood, having this, you know, infertility event and going through a long period of dealing with it completely in the wrong way. And it was a long journey to realize this is not the way you deal with things that make you sad or make you stressed. And it took a while to turn that around.
Yeah.
But
so you're in your 40s, you get to your early 40s. And was the journey about doing lots more bike riding, becoming healthy and moving, did that continue from your early 40s until now, or did you have some ups and downs? Well,
no. Once I started, once I decided I'm going to be a sober person, everything changed. And I was doing like intense talk therapy with how I felt about infertility, how I felt about not having biological children, and got so into physical exercise, went to yoga every day, and, you know, would do yoga every single day. And we do like hot vinyasa yoga, like really like headstands and handstands. And so fun. Like, it was very annoying for a while. Every Instagram picture was me upside down, and my friends were like, enough already. But, and then, and during the pandemic is when I got back into biking, because I basically needed a bike for transportation when we were in Maine. And then I started doing like 50 miles on my day off, and like, this is kind of amazing. And it kept getting higher and higher. And I was like, you know what? I am 53 years old. I'm going to train for a century ride. What? And then I started training to do a 100 mile ride. And then I came home from Maine, made sure I got another mountain bike at home, and quickly realized I needed a road bike, and got to the century ride on this beautiful road bike in, I'm going to say, 5 months from when I set my goal. Yeah. And now it's just become something I like. And so highest mile per day is 115.67 miles. And that was last August.
That's amazing. So you're in Oahu right now for work. And you said you just did a 20-mile bike ride today. Is that right?
Yeah, it was really lovely.
So tell me, because I know Oahu, and we've been there. This will be my fifth
trip. Where did I go?
And we're going to be staying at the Hilton on Waikiki. So where did you go riding today? Tell me the path that you went riding.
I started right by Diamond Head. Yes. And I went out above Hanama Bay and up 72. Up above the Makapu Lighthouse, very, very windy, turned around, went the back way, back to Hawaii Kai, and then back towards Diamond Head.
Wow. So are you staying near Diamond Head? Is that where you're staying?
Yes. But I've also, if I have a full day off, I've been going out to North Shore, which is my favorite place on the island.
We're going to go to North Shore.
Oh, you'll love North Shore. It's beautiful. It's like Waimea Bay and Pipeline and all the incredible surf beaches. So I start in Haleiwa, and I go all the way up the coast, about 17 miles. And then I say, oh, isn't it pretty? And I turn around and I go all the way back down the coast. Wow. So I do about it's about 45 miles to the day for the day, because I learned very quickly, do not bike to North Shore. The highways are way too sketchy. Yeah, okay. So even though they're highways in quotation. I take a bus from Waikiki to a safe part of the highway, and I get off there.
Right.
And then enjoy all the beaches and look at all the surfers and
fantastic. You know, there's,
on a, um, there's, pipeline and eat my lunch.
There's a one of the key professors, the PhDs I work with, is from Norway. And Professor Ulrik Wisloff, he has a PhD in cardiology and exercise physiology. He leads, he leads a team of 55 medical researchers at the Norwegian University of Technology and Science. And he's come up with an algorithm that has now been clinically validated on over 700,000 people. It's called a health impact score. And I won't go into the details, but you, what it does is once you hit the average score of 100 health impact points and you stay there on a rolling 7 days, so whatever, let's say you did a 20-mile bike ride today,
yeah,
your heart rate would have got high enough for long enough that you would have probably earned 30, 40, 50 points. Well, whatever you did 7 days ago drops off. And so your goal is to get to 100 and then you end up staying at 100, okay? But with the amount that you do, the amount of that stuff that you've talked to me about.
I do about 20 miles every day.
Okay, so 20 miles a day, you'd be well, well over the 100. But the benefit of health adaptations kind of cuts out 100. The going over 100 does not improve your vascular health any much further, doesn't improve your heart function much further, but it does enough to drive down your risk of, say, let's say type 2 diabetes by 54% compared to people who don't do it. And the amount that you're doing is you drive down any complications that you would have from weight is a 30% decrease compared to the people who don't do what you're doing. And so Wisloff has gone through and worked out with all of his science team, took him 20 years to develop this and validated on 700,000 people in the medical journals. Like, I'm fascinated by this stuff, and I've interviewed him and spent some time communicating with him. And the amount that you do, you have reduced all cause mortality, all causes of sickness and death, and premature death, by at least 35% compared to everybody else in the community who doesn't do what you do.
Oh, that's my famous transition bell, and we haven't finished the conversation with Rebecca. Okay, I just realized this this part of the episode has got up to 27 minutes, and we need to finish this up because some people listening, you know, that's getting right out there. And usually it's the 20-minute mark, so we're at 27 minutes. The next episode picks up. Rebecca's going to tell us one of her goals about how long she wants to live. That's where the conversation will pick up from directly. There'll be no intro in the next part of the lesson. This was going to be three parts. It's so good. And the richness, that the stimulation I had from listening to the conversation again, what I wanted to write in the first part of this particular episode, has taken us and carried us over too much time. So let me finish it up here right now. No intro in the next one. Just straight back to Rebecca telling us, when you pick up on the last part now, last 15 or so minutes, when you pick up on that, Rebecca telling us about her objective, about the length of her life, and we go into a few more things, really cool stuff, before we wrap it up. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining me at this one, which has gone over time, but we're ready to finish it out with this wonderful person who's making the world more beautiful. Let's get back to it. I'll see you at the next episode, the final part of the lesson. Bye for now.